Discord. We are numb, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight on Podzilla After Dark on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host. With me, of course, we have the parked Lincoln, Jesse Kimball.
The parked Lincoln. I kind of like that.
In the end, she doesn't even matter. Lindsay Wolfgang.
Oh,
that's cold.
Robot boy, Shelby Chan.
Don't you call my fiance a boy.
Robot boy. And
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not there's anything wrong with that. And I can't think of any other Linkin Park song. So Tanner Calvert.
I couldn't think of anything. Featuring his wife in the background. Look at that.
What's she doing?
Playing Grand Theft Auto.
Oh. And Hunter Hendricks.
Now, Shannon, the other day I was talking to my wife, Sarah, and we discussed how this wasn't a very good podcast. And I agreed with her. Now why would I do that?
The great Jiminy Glick. Sort of.
The great Stewie Griffin.
As Jiminy Glick.
Impersonating Jiminy Glick. It kills me that we were doing that bit for how many days? And then it just dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute. That's not even actually Jiminy Glick. That's from Family Guy.
The funniest thing Jiminy Glick's ever done is not be Jiminy Glick.
We kept going, that's the only Jiminy Glick bit that I liked. And I was like, wait a minute, it's not even him. And I agreed with her.
So, in full honesty, I have to admit something and to confess something here at the start of the show. And that is that I today purchased Final Fantasy Origins Stranger in Paradise. And I started.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, that's the full title.
Origins Stranger in Paradise.
Couple things.
That was the right
one. Just on the game itself, I want to mention that I told Hunter this before the show. It starts, everything you heard about this game is 100% true. Every line of dialogue that Jack Garland has revolves around chaos and nothing but chaos and how bad he wants to destroy it.
I need to make a point really quick. It's called Stranger of Paradise. You said Stranger in Paradise, and it sounded like a Jimmy. It sounded
it's a Jimmy
like
Buffett
a Jimmy
song.
Buffett song.
Yeah,
and it
I just realized that. Yeah,
lot.
Stranger of Paradise. My bad. Well, okay. Speaking of music, though, this is the thing that really got me. So, and I shit you not, I told Hunter this. You start the game off in this really good looking cutscene where Chaos has kidnapped the princess. He's going down this corridor. He's murdering all these guards in a very mature rated way. Like, there's blood everywhere. It's pretty good. And then you play as the three main characters, who they expertly named Jack, Jed, and Ash. And you fight a giant boss.
So,
Jed. You fight the giant boss, and when you beat the giant boss, it transports you to a big field where you get your memories back. It's basically a tutorial. And during this part, they're playing Frank Sinatra's My Way. It's the strangest thing I've ever heard in a video game. Like, it was one thing when they had Florence and the Machine singing Stand By Me in the beginning of Final Fantasy 14 or 15. I thought that was pretty cool. But Frank Sinatra's My Way in Final Fantasy Origins, Stranger of Paradise, is about the stupidest thing I think I have. It's, oh my god, it was baffling. Absolutely baffling.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta say it now. Ironically enough, that's one of two times that song is gonna get mentioned on this show tonight.
Well, three, because that's a great song. That's a good song. And even though we just mentioned it, that technically doesn't count as three. Ignore it. I'm tired. I also wanted to call out the fact that it's a very ugly game. It's not attractive. It's not attractive. After playing Elden Ring, this game looks like it belonged on PlayStation 3. I don't understand it. And I got the PS5 version. And lastly, what the hell, the motherfucker of the week this week is Square Enix. Only for the fact that they have, I don't know what their naming policy is for video games anymore. Because you had Octopath Traveler, you had Project Triangle, and now you've got
Triangle Strategy.
That's what it was. Yeah. And then you've got Final Fantasy Origins Stranger of Paradise. I don't understand their naming policy for video games. Who thinks those are good
Final
names?
Final Fantasy has always been really dumb with their naming.
You mean the numbers?
Final Fantasy is not even the biggest offender here. You guys are completely glossing over Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts,
oh, God.
358/2 days times 4 to the 10th
Re-chain
power.
Rechain of memories.
Rechain of memories, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Kingdom Hearts is definitely worth, I mean, that's also Square. But, yeah, like Final Fantasy, any Final Fantasy game that's ever had a subtitle, it's been dumb.
Thankfully, there haven't been that many. The only one that I could think of off the top of my head is Dirge of Cerberus, which is dumb.
That's bad.
And then the remake for Final Fantasy is literally called Final Fantasy VII Remake, and the newer version of it is called like Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade, which I just don't understand. I mean,
the 12, it wasn't a remake, I guess it was a remaster or like re-release, whatever you want to call it, but the 12 one was just called the Zodiac Age. That was fine.
That's good.
That tied into the story.
Final Fantasy Tactics is fine. It's very simple. That's why I don't understand where Square all of a sudden just went nuts with their names. They started naming their things like names that no one would ever like. Like, it feels like these were the Japanese names. Like, they somebody really translated them poorly into English. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But bleh.
And like you would think, yeah, like that's gotta be what it is. Like, it's just a weird translation, because then you've got shit like Revenant Wings. Years is fine.
I remember Revenant Wings.
Grimoire of the Rift, which just sounds edgy as fuck.
That's borderline. Like, that's borderline okay. Edgy. Yeah, it's. Yeah. I think that's
if
okay.
If it's a grimoire belonging in a rift, that makes sense to me. That's where you find a grimoire.
At least with 13, they called it like Lightning Returns.
Also, hey. Like Ever Crisis.
So I have.
I don't remember that one.
Fine. That's a character.
I don't even remember Ever
Final
Crisis.
Fantasy. Oh, apparently it's going to be an Android game.
Enough said about that one. Tanner, what are we doing?
I've got a nominee for Motherfucker of the Week.
Is it Square?
It's Ubisoft.
Yeah, I'll accept it. Whatever it is.
So, and Asa, like, tried to disagree with me on this because most games are going away from it, which is true. I get that. So, the newest DLC for Valhalla was Dawn of Ragnarok. And I bought the season pass when I bought the game. Altogether, I've got probably $150 in this game. AC is always done. If you get the DLC, you get every piece. If you get the season pass, you get every piece of DLC that comes out for the game. So I got on there yesterday for the first time in months to go play Dawn of Ragnarok. I'm not real interested in it. I don't like the Odin playthrough stuff, but it's part of the game. I'm going to check it out. These motherfuckers want me to spend an extra $40 to get this game. I said no. Just no. First time I've said no to Ubisoft, and I don't know how long.
No.
Well, as in, like, it's $40 for the DLC for it?
Just for the Dawn of Ragnarok.
So I'm guessing they're probably going to label it as a standalone expansion type thing.
They are. Already are. That's what I was going to say. You said it there, and I'm not necessarily defending it, because I don't know. I don't know how much is in it. I played exactly 1 hour of Valhalla, and I was like, I'm not, no dice.
Well, on that same note, Assassin's Creed 3 came out, and they had the Tyranny of King Washington. That was its own standalone story.
Yeah, but it sounds like this is more.
Except that I'm looking at this, and because I just wanted to find out, like they're claiming that it has at least 35 hours of gameplay in Dawn of Ragnarok.
Well, that's even more reason to say no. Because again, I don't like playing as Odin. It's not that. Anytime I had to go to either Vanaheim, Jotunheim. Or even Asgard. I was like, I did it just so I could continue the story in the main game. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get through this as quick as possible.
I think if they had just released it as its own thing and just called it, you know what I mean? Like, is it called Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok? Or?
Yeah, it's Assassin's Creed Valhalla Dawn of Ragnarok.
I wonder,
it feels like the kind of thing that might eventually get its own release. Like, maybe you can just buy it separate. Kind of like you can buy GTA Online, you know, separate from the main game. Not the exact same thing, but...
Because for me, I feel like 35 hours is fine for $40.
I think it depends on what you do in those 35 hours, because you get pad the shit out of a game.
I hate it, because just even it out, man. Just make it 40. Give me 5 more hours of content. It makes me itchy, man. 35 hours for $40. Either that or lower the price to
$35. You're talking to a guy.
Yeah, I mean, I would honestly have been fine with that, too. But also, like, I like to think of it like... I have never played a game for, like, less than the amount of hours that says that it's going to take me, except for Dragon Age Origins. But that one, like, I regretted how I sped through it because it made the last fight nearly impossible. Yes, I ended up dropping the difficulty to baby mode in order to beat it.
I did that for, if it was that one or two, but I did it for one of the two.
They say that the first playthrough of Elden Ring is 30 hours. I disagree, because my first playthrough was 100 hours solid, but I did a lot of extra shit. Like I said, you could extend a game's length as long as you want, depending on what you're doing, you know.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it also depends, like, if it really is just hardcore linear, which the Assassin's Creed stuff has never really been, but if it's hardcore linear and they say, like, 35 hours, then, yeah, that's probably all it's going to take. Like, you're just going to, like, that's how long it takes to go down the guided rails that it provides you.
Tanner,
so I'm going to be realistically with you.
Of those hours were you just shooting that turkey, right?
And every,
right, I'm gonna go make the bird jump.
And every time I respawn, this fucking thing is just staring at me with a stupid dead eyes.
Oh, speaking of Assassin's Creed and turkeys, today I learned that there is a turkey on the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3 that you could feed, and when you come back the next day to see it, it's wearing a little assassin's hood following you around.
Who gave him that hood?
He stole it.
Well, Shannon, you remember when there was only one set of turkey footprints in the scene?
All right, to move past this turkey, I believe that the number one Chris Chan correspondent has news for you, Shannon.
Well, hold on. There was one point I was going to make really quick, and like we kept talking, and now I've forgotten it. God damn it.
I also have another real quick nearly motherfucker of the week that they redeemed themselves this morning, and that's if we're doing game companies,
Dalton.
Rockstar Games.
Oh, no. Yeah.
No. Rockstar Games tried to fucking screw me out of my GTA $4 million by not telling me that if I deleted my fucking character, that none of that shit would carry over. I just assumed that's how you started the game every time, with the career builder. Nope. So I went back and forth with them for until morning. Basically sent me the email that was like, here's your money, please leave us alone.
Yeah!
Do it again.
And you know what? Now that...
I wasn't going to give up. Like, I was like, it costs me nothing to send you a support email, and you have to respond every time.
I
just give me my money back.
Well, I get it now, though. I get why they don't do that, because you could just keep deleting your character and making that extra money over and over again.
Sure.
Because it's a shared bank account. So,
well, and see, and that's the thing. That's what I tried to make clear to them. They were making it sound like I said that I did it by accident. That, oops, I messed up. And they're like, well, no, we've determined that you manually deleted it. Yeah, I did. I never tried to hide that fact from you. I actively went in and did it because I've never played the game and I did not know that's how it worked.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a shared bank account, and I did not know that you wouldn't do the career builder stuff again, or else I would have just waited, spent the money to respect the appearance and do it later, which is another thing I didn't know until I read an article about it. So, because you don't find out about that, oh, you can drop 100K to change your character's appearance at rank 6 until it happens. Remember, you got the message the other night of like, oh, rank 6, now you can go in and do this. That would be nice to know sometime and before rank 6.
I'll be rank, if life years equated to rank, I'll be rank 74 in August. And I'm waiting to find out when I get the option to redo my character's look. Because
well, it's still going to cost you $100,000.
I don't have $100,000.
I was about to say, Shannon, you unlocked that deal 60 years ago this very night. But you're missing $100,000.
Shelby, resident...
I got it back. I'm happy.
Good, good. Finally. Poor days are behind us. Resident Shelby expert Chris Chan. No. Resident Chris Chan expert Shelby has breaking news for us. Shelby, I saw the message you just sent me, but it went away. Can you please tell everybody what you said?
So Chris Chan now has a new title. Before it was Mrs. Christine Weston Chandler, Sonichu Blueheart, Goddess CPU of the Commodore 64. It is now...
Did Square name him?
CPU of the Commodore 64.
Yeah.
Did Square, is Square Enix his dad? Sorry.
Maybe.
Withdrawn.
So while he has been in prison, he's had some very big religious awakenings. He has realized she is now Jesus, and her mother is Emmanuel. So now her title is Mrs. Jesus Christine Weston Chandler, Sonichu, the Goddess Blue Heart, Avatar, and Lord.
And yet she's the second coming.
And yet whenever they
original. She has always been the original. She's just here again.
Do not mention second coming around her mother. It is disturbing.
No.
Disturbing.
You're gonna, in you're every gonna. Way.
She also has, and I don't have time to read
don't
it
do
all
it.
Because it is very long. She has the Lord Goddess Blue Heart's Prayer that she has released. It is basic.
I need you to read it.
No.
I need you to read it.
No, he doesn't.
So long.
Give us an excerpt. Just give us a little taste. Give us a sample. The first hit's free, but then we got to pay for it after that.
Okay. I, Lord and God, lead them here now, please. For the time is divine. Yes. The toxic ones have been left behind, for they face their judgment day, and we live onward for Neo life.
It's also important that this opens four times. Get me home. Get me home right now, please. My second coming is now. That is specifically mentioned. Like, you do that four times. Get me home. Get me home right now, please. My second coming is now.
I'm pretty sure that's an Usher song.
It also ends with... Complete the collective shift now. Please get me home. Get me home now. Repeated four times. And get my body home right now. Please, my second coming is now. Also repeated four times.
I feel like for all the effort that she's putting into this, when they announce her in the court, it's just going to be Kristen Weston Chandler. It's none of that shit's going
to
matter.
She never legally went through the right process in her state to actually declare herself a legal woman. So in the court system, she is referred to as a male.
Right.
They do not recognize her
plus,
transgender status.
Isn't her real name, like, it's not even Christian, right? Like,
it's Christopher,
just,
I think.
Yeah, it's Christopher.
Yes,
yeah.
Christopher.
Yeah.
Because it was like some mistake, like
a mall Santa.
So
it's like it's meant to be. That is my name now.
If anybody's listening that may be new to the podcast, that is a new listener, and you like to go down the rabbit hole, and you know who I'm talking to, all of you.
Don't do this.
Go to the YouTube. It's a website, very popular. And you look up Chris Chan, look up the Geno Samuel documentary series, and just lose yourself. Lose yourself for a couple days. You know? If you don't have anything to do.
And he's not kidding. It will be at least a couple of days.
Yes. Call off from
work.
There's
like 70-something episodes.
Tell your loved ones and your friends that you'll be back in a little bit. You got to learn more about Chris Chan. And then snuggle up close to your radio. And put the blanket over your head. Get some warm cocoa. Settle in for the weekend. And enjoy all of the Chris Chan Dalton.
Nobody wants fucking cocoa. It's about to be 67 degrees outside.
It's always good for cocoa.
Cocoa is life.
Yes!
They want the iced tea.
But Tanner, it's hot tea.
Well, then Steven has no idea.
Y'all broke Lindsay?
Yeah.
You can't hear it because of my phone picking up. Be all broke Lindsay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all of the news we want to cover for today. I can't think of anything else that's happened. I'm in a particularly strange mood because I just woke up before this, so I have a weird cadence to the way I'm talking. So let's talk about the...
That's how you almost went Bill Cosby then. Don't do that.
I wouldn't...
No, he said he woke up.
Well, yeah, because I'm Bill Cosby.
That's it. It won't get any better than that tonight. Good night, folks.
Oh, he's gone. He's out. Oh, he's back.
I'm
okay.
Back.
Okay, good.
I am going to go get some more drink.
I don't think I only made enough for one big cup of hot tea, and now I also want some more. I also put about seven giant spoons of sugar in it, you know, because you want to taste it.
But honey, man,
you want to feel the tea.
Yeah, I want to.
You want to feel that grit.
I want to feel every crystal in there going against my teeth and bonding to
it.
Not
often I say this, but Tanner is right. You gotta start using honey.
I would also agree with Tanner. Honey and tea is superior to sugar and tea.
Well, especially in hot tea. The fact that you're all agreeing with Tanner leads me to believe that this is a prank on me and that I should stick with sugar.
Now, legitimately, honey just tastes way better in tea for some reason. I don't know why.
It melts into it better. Like it dissolves into it better. It's sweeter, or not sweeter, but it's got like a. It sweetens it well. Like rather than having to try to mix sugar and get it right, like a spoonful of honey, you're done, man.
I think I have.
It complements it super well.
Yes. I think I have done.
Really now, I have now, done. Now. Or I'm talking about. I'm not talking about this squeezy bear bullshit.
No.
Get some actual fucking honey.
Yeah. The kind infused with marijuana.
Yes.
Yes.
That's also a good idea.
They have not that.
I don't know if I ever told you this. I generally drink like green tea, which is caffeinated. So don't put it in that. Unless you get that sleepy time tea.
The Bill Cosby tea.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just not a green.
Also, you can put
the good honey in a bear, but don't go to Walmart and get a bear and just go, this is honey. It's not.
That stuff is my preferred honey for barbecue, though, or smoking.
That's totally different. Totally different.
Very different animal.
Yeah. So you could get RC Cola and shit for that. Like, that's the same time you're using, you know, whatever generic shit you got on hand.
We actually have a beekeeper here in town, and he jars honey and sells it, and it is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, significantly less like synthetic stuff in it, and
and like if you get your local honey, it helps with allergies, sinuses, stuff like that.
Does he have to brave a forest full of bears, like giant rune bears, Tanner from Elden Ring,
wearing only red shirts and no pants, constantly going, oh bother.
Or wearing
after we saw that like mod the other day with Homer Simpson and Elden Ring. I need to see all rune bears replaced by Winnie the Pooh.
All right, that's enough of this nonsense. Let's get to the.
There's never enough nonsense.
It's Thursday. If you're listening to this and you're thinking, Shannon, where are those Star Wars episodes? Tomorrow, you'll get them tomorrow.
They're coming.
That's what you say.
Eventually.
They're coming. Hey, it's over.
Mister admitted that he still has a random episode that we recorded while he was in St. Louis that hasn't been posted yet.
I do. I'm sitting on one. It's extra content. It's a lost episode.
Hey, if it makes you feel better, I finished writing fucking Inquest over a week ago, and I still haven't recorded that.
It's coming.
All new episodes coming to the show. And the return of Horse Time. And the return of I Want to Believe. And the return of... Return of Sunday Random Sunday.
Boy, that's one I haven't thought about in a minute.
We did two Wednesday Random Wednesdays only because we just recorded something with no title. Back in the old days, that's how we used to do it. We didn't have show titles.
Yeah.
We didn't have shows that were assigned per week. We just got on and talked about whatever we wanted.
One of the first like shows that we did within the first couple of months we started doing this, I remember I was just going to be in Cape on a Sunday, and you were like, "Hey, let's do a show," and we did, and we we took a quiz from some magazine.
Yes,
what was it?
It was the dating compatibility quiz or something like that. We did it at Grill Rock.
We did because we didn't have a topic.
Shannon going, this is great content.
Yes,
for the podcast.
Yes. And then I remember Lindsay and I were on Cody's show once, the sports show. And I remember when Cody was like, you know, hey, you know, here with us in the studio, Shannon. And I was like, why the fuck are we here? Lindsay can't contribute anything. She doesn't even know what a sport is.
I listened to that. You guys talked about UFC, as I recall.
I do know UFC because violence is important to me. I don't know how to follow that up.
Well, I heard you were here. And I remember Phil Chaos.
I fucking hate Chaos.
He had me on one of those episodes to talk about football, I remember, because that is pretty much the only sport I could talk in depth on.
You are far more qualified to talk about football than I am to talk about any sport on Cody's show. That's why Cody's show died. The ratings dive-bombed after I went on there, because people were like, this ain't funny. They stopped. They stopped.
Like, what the hell was that?
The hell was that? All right, so we got a top five tonight. It is
Parasite.
It is Thursday. And as always on Thursdays, we bring you the funnest top five list, except for 2 weeks ago when we brought you the saddest top five list, which we'll never do that shit again. No more emotions. From now on, it's just wacky comedy.
Hold on, I need a second.
Wait, hold on. Please.
Hold on, wait a minute.
I just...
I'm breaking it down. Hold on. Oh, hold on. Hold on a second.
It was rough.
I was so sad Shelby missed that, because that was... I would have loved to see her contributions to that.
Well, I wouldn't say she missed it.
I don't know if ever... I've never
she
seen...
She dodged it.
I've never seen Shelby get emotional. At the very end. So, I'm not sure if Shelby has those emotions. I've never seen her get emotional.
Oh, she does.
Okay.
She does.
Shelby, what's the weirdest thing you cry over? What's the weirdest thing you've cried over? Because I'll tell you mine. It's very strange.
I'm going to say it and everyone's going to think I'm stupid, but I had a really shitty day shitty week leading up to it. I got to a restaurant, and after getting to like the third thing on the menu that I tried to order, they're like, "I'm sorry, we just don't have that." And I just started bawling in the middle of the restaurant.
Oh my God, that's so sad.
That's fair. You deprive me of food, I'm gonna cry too. That ain't right.
Especially like shitty week. You try to order like, all right, I'll take this. Don't got it. All right, how about this? Don't got it.
Why don't you tell me what you have so I don't cry anymore?
You look at him and go, just hold on.
I'll break it down.
I need a minute. I'm breaking down. Hold on. Oh, hold on.
You saw the rabbit picture, right?
Yeah.
That they're referencing.
Can you tell us the name of the restaurant? I'm curious.
I don't even remember. Okay. It was probably like a Steak and Shake or something. And that's even sadder part.
That's accurate. Steak and Shake is always out of something.
I also cry at Steak and Shake. Yeah. For different reasons.
The worst.
I cry hours later for different reasons.
Years. Luckily, it wasn't in our local area. So the people that saw me do this never saw me again. They thought I just disappeared.
And you kind of did. In a way. Years ago, Lindsay and I, we had a big group, and I forget what we were doing, but we ended up going to what I think was like Fazoli's. And like I ordered...
When I noped out, Jesse was with us.
Yeah. I
it
ordered
was one
food.
Of the conventions in Kentucky.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So I order, and then Lindsay's next. She didn't really want to go there in the first place, but I talked her into it. She gets up to order, and I'm standing there waiting for them to get my stuff. She's looking at the menu, and she just goes and walks off. And I was like, okay, I guess we're not eating here. So then we all left. That was incredibly awkward. I was so pissed off. Now it's funny. Anyway.
Because we ended up going to Pizza Hut after that.
Or Pizza Inn or something. It was
I think Pizza Hut was on the way home, and we walked in all in fucking cosplay in a Pizza Hut in a different town.
Yep. And if I remember correctly, we tried to go to Pizza Inn, but they didn't have any reservations. It was all booked. No rooms
somebody
available.
How do I delete someone else's joke from the podcast?
Oh.
And do you know when you see geese flying and they're in that V formation and one side is always a little longer than the other.
Yeah.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because there's more geese on that side.
That's a big chicken.
Oh, I'm well known for my sense of humor. All right, Lindsay. It's no longer with us, so. There she is.
She's doing it again.
She doped out of that joke.
The podcast went.
No. Mm. Good. I think I could do better.
Yeah, because I want to say that was like one of the St. Louis conventions that happened.
No, it was one of the Kentucky stuff.
Yeah, Paducah.
Yeah, OMG. Paducah. OMG Con.
We do not have a good. I was gonna say
original OMG Con.
Yes, I was gonna say we don't have a really good reputation with the Paducah, but it's actually Poplar Bluff that we did an entire episode about, and we torched we torched them.
Ain't nobody from Papa Bluff like listens to this show.
Johnny Atwood.
From Papa Bluff that has the technical capability to listen to this show.
They
can you get it on Tin Can and String yet? Or are we available on that platform?
I think they have moved up to record players, and we'll be releasing our first vinyl. Our first Godzilla vinyl.
Bring up the old.
Plus, at this point, like, I think Johnny Atwood would say that he's from Ohio, because that's where he lives now, and he would much rather be from Ohio.
I miss Johnny.
He's a good man.
He's a good dude.
He's a good dude. All right, so Lindsay, now that you're back, I've stalled long enough. What's the top five for tonight?
The top five things you have recently been looking up on YouTube or TikTok.
Now, is this a channel or is this a video?
Just types of stuff. Like, things you have been looking up on a regular basis recently.
Who actually uses TikTok?
You?
Show of hands real quick. It's just me and Tanner, right?
Yeah.
And also, Tanner will attest to this, you don't really look shit up on TikTok.
It just kind of pops kinda up. Find
you. It just kind of happens. Yeah, the first time you go on there, like, you're going to get a wide variety of stuff, and whatever you like, it's going to show you more of that. That's.
I mean, the most I get now is whatever pops up on Facebook that just happens to be TikTok videos.
That's right. The same thing. Like, all of my TikTok consumption, is Reddit. Like, people take the videos from TikTok and they post them to subreddits mm-hmm. that I care about.
I just included it in case someone has not been watching YouTube in the recent times.
I'm using both.
Okay.
This is going to be hard for me. I don't use YouTube very much.
That's why I included TikTok.
Did you not hear him 5 minutes ago?
I need you to know. I also need you to know I don't even have – well, I do have a TikTok account that I never use other than the fact that I – when Sarah sends me stuff, it comes up faster. Like, otherwise, I have to, like, load it from a text message. So I literally downloaded the app and have an account strictly so that it goes faster. My TikTok is hers. Like, she literally – before we got on here, she was like, I have some TikToks if you'd like to watch them. Yes, I would. Please show me the cats. I would like to see the babies now.
All right, well, you've heard the assignment. Let's get to it. Let's start with, I don't know, Mo. Jesse is Mo. All right, Jesse, you're up.
Jesse is Mo. That might be the meanest thing you've ever said to me.
Not today, old friend.
You don't want to be a little cleaning robot?
Mo.
We have different Mo's.
Yeah. Okay,
there's many Mo's.
Mo.
I'm going to start with the Pat McAfee show. I did channels, except for like a couple of them are just like topics. But starting off with the Pat McAfee show, which I guess all of you wrestling fans know Pat McAfee for different reasons. But yeah, he's
I know him from the Colts.
Yeah, he's a former punter for the Indianapolis Colts, and he does a football show. And like, whether you like him or not, his connections in the football world makes him a very informative source for football news, because, you know, he was a player as opposed to a lot of the commentary people and everything else that just, like, you know, were involved with it. Like, he actually knows a lot of these people and has, like, their phone numbers and can text them and have them, like, live stream into the show. But anyway, been watching a lot of that because for non-football fans out there, y'all are missing the wildest offseason we've ever had. This free agency has been absolutely insane. Some of the trades we've seen have been absolutely insane.
How about that new quarterback for you?
I'm fine with it. I'm not mad about it. But I'm not going to bore everybody with football. But it's been absolutely insane. So I've been watching a shitload of Pat McAfee show.
He also
has been covering a whole lot of it.
He also had Vince McMahon on in one of the most, like, I try to give WWE credit. I try to, like, you know, like, well, I still agree with some of the stuff, but hearing Vince McMahon talk about it, talking about the people that he fired and how they were dead weight, talking about how he doesn't listen to the audience because there's a small minority, like, it's so upsetting to hear him running his mouth like that. It's kind of depressing. So that was
out of character. So that was.
Right. Yeah. That was just Vince McMahon being Vince McMahon. But he also had Brock Lesnar.
Literally none of that.
Brock Lesnar was on there, and he was a lot of fun because Lesnar is having the time of his life right now, as
Lesnar is my new favorite person. I'm gonna, because he's on TikTok now.
Yeah, Lesnar's gone nuts, man. Lesnar's just gone nuts. He's everywhere. He's everywhere you want to be, and he's so big, and he's got so many muscles,
and that beard,
and that beard, and muscles.
He is a very large man with a lot of muscles.
All right, Shelby, tell us your top five muscles.
My biceps are really strong. So one of the things I've been watching a lot lately is Dylan Hollis and his shorts on YouTube, like the short stories. He does cooking, and he normally does like cooking from way back. So he'll bring out a cookbook from like the 1930s or something. He's like, let's see what abomination they made and if we can recreate it. And some of them end up being surprisingly good looking and, he says, tasting foods, and some of them he can't even make it through the bite, spits it out, and it's like, this is depression. Like, I'm depressed. I can't do this.
Like that candy you had to eat. I never forgave you for that.
Ever. Oh, God.
Ever.
Oh,
in my defense, it wasn't supposed to all be that.
It started with a D.
Durian. I was trying to say Dorian. Like John Dorian.
That was the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life. And I've eaten children.
Nasty. It was so nasty. Yeah, so she had me watch one of the videos and then ended up popping up on YouTube. And one that I just had to watch, he made the 1950s Campbell's tomato soup cake.
Ew.
I know, right? I know. He made it and said it was delicious.
No.
Because it turns out to be like a spice cake, and all the tomato soup really serves to do is make it like extra moist. And then there's a recipe for like a chocolate cream cheese frosting to put on it. Ate it. He said, all right, this is shockingly good. Why is this good?
So did you just say a tomato soup with a chocolate cream cheese frosting top?
Yes.
That sounds tomato disgusting. Tomato soup cake.
I have been sick most of the day. Let's not talk about this anymore.
I also want to clarify.
That good.
I want to clarify on a joke I made earlier about eating children. Before anyone thinks I'm some kind of pervert, they were dead and cooked. So, I don't want you guys to get the wrong idea about me.
They were chicken children. He ate eggs.
The bit That's of not this where comes I down to eggs. Yeah, there it is. Of course, the thing is, eggs are not what we eat. It's fine.
That is correct.
Just let it go.
Let's go on.
Let's go to Tanner. Yeah, let's go back to Jesse.
All right, my next one.
Tanner.
I'm taking this one now just because I think Hunter or Jesse might take it from me, but Dragon Ball Z Abridged. I watched the entire season all the way through this past week, plus all the movies, so that's been pretty fun.
Is it that Team Four Star? What is it? What's their name?
Yeah. Team Four Star.
They're pretty funny.
If you hate Dragon Ball Z, you should still watch DBZ Abridged.
Yeah, because it's great.
I can confirm that because I don't like Dragon Ball, and I find Abridged very funny.
It is hilarious.
It is one of the most quotable things you will ever watch on YouTube, probably. Because I was somebody randomly asked how I did that. Muffin button.
Muffin button. What?
Your wife is smiling, yeah.
I also like that is watching one of those movies. So I know all of you here know Ben Martin.
Yes.
He's normally a fairly stoic guy. Like, he laughs and stuff. You can get him going. You'll get a chuckle or two out of him sometimes. I have never seen this dude laugh harder. Like, he was almost on the floor dying with laughter watching the Lord Slug movie.
My God.
The letter at the end absolutely killed him. It broke him so hard. I never before and not since have I seen him come anywhere near that level of laughter. So everybody should give DBZ Abridged a shot. It's fucking great.
Oh, fuck. You're going to make him come laugh.
And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because I said it would come up a second time. My favorite part of the series is at the end of the Cell Saga, that's where it ends. I didn't do Boo. But Gohan's getting literally in the process of killing him with a Kamehameha, and Cell realizes it. So he goes into I Did It My Way himself, the voice actor of Cell singing it, doing flashbacks of his entire life. and it's just fucking epic.
It's good stuff. It really is.
Oh shit! Well, I was gonna go to Hunter, but then he just bounced out.
It's you.
Hang on, I'm back.
Oh, okay. Oh, good, because I was about to start quoting some SNL there.
You were just gonna hold on.
I'm breaking. The show's breaking down. All right. Give me a minute. Double H.
One of the only things I use YouTube regularly for, and we're not going to discuss why, is a little channel called Cafe Music BGM, and it is exactly what it sounds like. It is like a bossa nova jazz coffee shop kind of vibe, and it's just, they have several live videos they post every day that they do a good morning, like Monday through Friday video. I don't even know if they do a weekend one, if I'm being honest with you. But it's just like the music is never named any of that. The video itself is just a static image, usually of like a coffee shop or something. This is how I read. It does not matter what I'm reading, whether it's a biography of somebody. It doesn't matter if it is. I'm currently reading a book by Stephen Chbosky, who is. Hang on, let me tell you what the book is. The book is called Imaginary Friend, and it is a horror novel, and it is horrifying. It is it on steroids, basically. But here's the best part. It was written by the same guy who wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And
really?
Those are his two books.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to send me a link to that.
He wrote The Perks of Being a Wallflower 20 years ago. Everyone's like waiting for him to do his new thing. And then he writes this horrifying terror novel. Sarah read it either last year or the year before, and I finally have gotten around to reading it. It's like 700 pages. It's good. I mean, it's worth it. The part that I'm like, I don't know, I'm like 60-something percent of the way through it, because I'm reading it digitally right now. But anyway, to the YouTube thing, excuse me, I gotta have something going in the background, and this is perfect for that. And it has nothing to do with the theming, like I said, of what I'm reading. It could be horrifying, it could be biographical. This is a nice little just kind of background noise, keep you busy. It's so much better when it's raining. If you can get the sound of rain hitting the window and then you do that too, oh, it's good stuff. But that's a channel that's a go-to for me if I'm looking up, like, you know, basically just background music. I like a lot of lo-fi stuff too, but I haven't found a consistent good channel for that. This has been great for that. So
I potentially have one for you, Hunter, that you may not have found. We'll get there.
A lo-fi one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
At work, they always play the same lo-fi channel, and I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's not the usual one, but it's like, it looks like a Miyazaki character doing homework. That is the channel, and I always switch it because that shit puts me to sleep. I change it to Nintendo Radio, which is just literally live Nintendo music constantly from different games. It's great.
My go-to at work is there's like several Hozier playlists that's got the sound of rain in the background while Hozier is playing softly, and it's pretty great.
And it's just Take Me to Church on repeat.
No.
Tanner, I looked it up. The only album he put out is 15 songs, and they're all called Take Me to Church.
Shannon, you got to mix the two. Nintendo lo-fi is something special.
I did see that.
Video game lo-fi stuff is good stuff.
We also listen to Fallout Radio. It's literally just all of the Fallouts. Yeah. And what I love about it is it also includes the banter in between the songs. So we had someone in there once. We were consulting with him. We were trying to figure out what was going to work best for him. And the radio kicked on, and it was Wayne. What's his name? From Vegas, Wayne Newton. It's Wayne Newton. It's Mr. Vegas.
Mr. New Vegas.
Yeah, Mr. New Vegas. And he starts talking about the attack down in like the New Republic, California, whatever. And this dude starts looking around like, and I was like, oh, it's a video game. Don't worry. There's no attack. There's no attack. Anyway, my first choice. I've been watching videos of horsies. No, actually.
Well, Jenny, you've mentioned that at least seven times in the past few that we. Never mind.
Originally, I was going to put, like, today especially, I've been looking up a lot of clips from Star Trek, especially Picard, because season two is out, and I never even finished season one. And season two is all about Q, and Q was always one of my favorite characters. And what really is great is if you ever, like, if you see Patrick Stewart now, he's obviously much older than he was in The Next Generation. He looks older. Riker looks older. Everybody looks older. The guy that plays Q, when I saw him, he looks exactly the same, but with a white beard and white hair. He looks badass, so congrats to that guy. But that's just today, so I don't want to count that. My first pick is as cliched as it might sound, is the war in Ukraine. I've been just taking in as much content on it as I possibly can. MSNBC, New York Post, independent news sources, whatever. I'm trying to keep abreast of the situation. And I saw today that Ukraine has requested 500 javelins and 500 stingers from the United States per day to stay alive, to stay afloat. I'm like, wow, that's a big order. I don't think Russia has that many planes and helicopters, but I may be wrong, or maybe they're just really terrible shots. I don't know. But yeah, so I've just been watching like nonstop Ukraine footage. It's absolutely horrible. And I talked about it on my show a couple weeks ago. I'm going to talk about it again probably next week because we are in, month two now of the war in Ukraine? And it's getting worse. Like, they're literally just bombing cities now because I think they realize some cities Russia is not going to be able to take. So now they're just bombing cities to destroy them. And it's horrible. Today, I think I just saw today, Zelensky told NATO that they're using phosphorus bombs now.
Oh shit.
Yeah, which is, I mean, that's war crime. I mean, that's the worst of the worst, yeah. Right there. So if that's
white phosphorus is fucked up.
Yeah, and that's what he's saying they're using now in Ukraine. So if that's true, we may be ticking closer and closer to World War III, legitimately. So think about that.
Never mind.
Tanner, I'll invite you onto the show.
Yeah, do that.
All right. Let's go to Lindsay, who's got something much happier, I'm sure.
Yeah. Now, mine goes back to being extremely childish, because I've been looking up Pokemon speculations for Scarlet and Violet. People's guesses, analyzing the trailers, hopes of what we'll see in it, and things that way.
How much of a furry is the cat going to be?
Has it evolved? I am in the boat that is hoping that it will stay a quadruped. Yeah. But it probably won't.
How much, Tanner, how much of a furry are those new Xbox and PlayStation controllers going to be?
They're going to get so gross.
They're going to be so nasty.
All that Cheeto dust.
Yeah, like just thinking about some of the controllers that we got traded in back in like our GameStop and Gaming Grounds days.
Applying
what happened to those. Oh yeah, they're gonna have dreads.
Jesse, they're not dreadlocks; they're shitlocks.
It will have been matted into flocking at that point.
You give them haircuts, and then they just have a nice buzz cut. You know?
Here's what's going to make it even grosser, because
you got to peel them.
There's going to be a lot of parents who go out and buy those for their kids, so a lot of those controllers are going to be kind of...
I thought it was just a special giveaway.
Yeah, it's just a contest thing. Yeah,
it's not one that's being released. It's a giveaway.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I thought these things were going to be mass-produced.
No.
Yeah. Oh.
No, it's a giveaway for Sonic 2.
Comes with a really cool looking Xbox Series S.
The system looks nice, yeah.
But... Yeah. Oh, all right. Let's go back to Jesse.
All right. My next one, I'll just tag along with Hunter there, because basically everything he said applies to my next pick there. Like, I just jump into the lo-fi stuff, and yeah, it works great as a background. Like, I have the stuff on when I'm reading, especially when I'm reading, but in general, like, I just have it on listening. Like I said, I do specifically the lo-fi stuff. Dream Hop Music is the one that I've been doing a lot with. I swap between that, and I really like, it's in Night Ride FM is the name of the channel, Chill Synth FM. And it's like the synth wave stuff, but like a chill lo-fi version of that, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. And yeah, I also fully agree. Like, if you can get some rain going in the background while you've got it, like, it's just, yeah, that's the good stuff.
As long as it's...
I'm going to send you something I just remembered.
As long as it's digital rain, because if it's actual rain, then that means my basement's going to flood. Doesn't matter how much.
Oh, no.
All right. All right. Jesus Shelby Chan.
There is a channel called Illuminati, and Naughty is spelled N-A-U-G-H-T-I-I. That's just how she spells it. She does a lot of stuff centered around like corporate casket, things that corporations have done that have either killed them or should be killing them because it's terrible. MLM Monday, so multi-level marketing Monday, different MLMs that are popping up, MLMs that are hiding underneath the guise of being an actual company, things to look out for that fall into the pyramid scheme kind of thing. and then Prism of the Past, where she kind of goes over awful things that have happened because of stupid people doing stupid things that could fall into the corporate casket or MLM category that just no one ever really caught before it, you know, spiraled. But she's really good. I like her. She does a lot of research on it. I mean, everyone can always do a little bit more research when they're doing some type of video like this, but she does a lot of research on these things, so...
I want to apologize for a minute because I zoned out for a hot second, but is this the person who does Fundy Fridays?
No.
Okay, shit. Never mind. I heard MLM Mondays and I was like, is that the same thing? Sarah watches something that's into that, and I it would be great for this list, and I don't. I have never sat and watched them. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, let me see. I mean, she might have something like that, but I don't think she does.
While
name sounds familiar.
While Jesus Shelby Chan of the Blue Cross is looking that up, we're going to go over to Tanner.
I've been on a
Childish Gambino kick lately.
If my workplace is empty and it's just me and they're, you know, chilling, I throw this on. And I'm a little late on the party for some of his music, so I just found 3005. That became one of my favorite songs. But I've been listening to his newest album lately.
It's okay, Tanner. I'm way behind on everything. Like, I get music about 6 years after everybody else does. Legitimately, you were here, I think, 2 weeks ago whenever I was like, you guys heard about this song, Better Dig 2? Or, Better Dig 2 by, what was their name? I don't remember the name anymore. It don't matter.
Is it the band Perry?
The band Perry. Yeah. And I'm like, you guys heard this new song? And then I found out that it was from, like, 2015.
Yeah, so, that's right. Yeah.
I'm like a third world country. I don't get stuff till years later.
I've got a picture.
You were just in the Taylor Swift vacuum. That's all.
I'm still in the Taylor Swift vacuum. You don't get out of that vacuum.
I've got a picture of her.
Yeah, I did too. Apparently, it's not the same people.
No. Did you find Illuminati?
Yes. Yeah, I'm excited.
I heard Ban Perry. What?
Yeah, speaking of Ban Perry, I've got a picture of her with Ban Perry from about that year.
Taylor Swift.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha. I thought you were talking about your wife because you were like kind of pointing behind you.
No, I was.
Your wife is Taylor Swift?
I thought you were talking about Taylor Swift.
No, I've got a picture of Brandy with the band Perry.
Oh, okay.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to need. Hold on. Hold on.
Because if your wife was Taylor Swift, I've never murdered a man and taken his wife before, but
there's a first for everything.
I got to try, Tanner. All right. I think it's Tanner's turn. No, Tanner already said it.
I just said Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino. So let's go to Adult Gambino, Hunter Hendrix.
Is it me?
Yes.
I forgot I was in this point of the lineup. All right. This is not a channel, but as I recall, this whole thing was like looking up things, like things we have looked up lately.
Yeah.
In the wake of the season 4 finale of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is a great show that I've talked about numerous times here. I've been looking up a lot of Lenny Bruce's stand-up. It's when we started playing GTA Online, I was like, oh, I can have a suit with like a loose and tie. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this case, I'm just going to be Lenny Bruce. Then that's who I'm going to be. And Sean, don't get me wrong. Lenny Bruce, not a hero. Even the character in the show will tell you, not a hero. But he's one of those quintessential stand-ups. One of those guys who's just like a pillar of stand-up comedy. And Luke Kirby, the guy who plays him on that show, does a phenomenal job. If you're looking into the show and curious about watching it, and you go, oh, Amy Sherman-Palladino, the one who wrote Gilmore Girls, I'm good. Don't let that, like, first of all, that should probably draw more people in than turn them off, but don't let it send you away from it either, because these are not the same show. There is a lot of that sort of, like, fast-talking, you know, dialogue, but it works. It's set in the 50s. I mean, it's very much meant to be, you know, that time frame.
Yeah.
The show's hilarious. There's 4 full seasons now on Amazon Prime to check out. It's just really, really well made, and I really kind of got into... come to find out, so Lenny Bruce played Carnegie Hall in New York, which was a huge thing at the time for comedians in general, just the fact that a comedian could get up and do that, because this was mostly reserved for musical acts and such. And that happens, not to spoil anything, but it happens in the season 4 finale. Like, that happens in the time frame of the show. Come to find out, the actual stand-up show that the real Lenny Bruce did, they used a lot of the same dialogue. Cause I went and I Sarah didn't know he was a real guy. So I pulled up, you know, some clips of that show, or that, you know, the show that he played. And literally the first like four or five lines that he uses in the show before they cut away, it's exactly the same thing from the recording.
That's neat.
I don't know. It's just really cool. Yeah. It's really cool the way they've interweaved this like real person from history into the history of the show. And so looking into some of the stuff that he did, he has a very, I don't know how to describe his stand-up. It is, it's like Seinfeld on crack in a lot of ways. It's very observational, but it's also very much tied to the time. And it's really blue. Like it is not clean at all, which was, you know, dangerous at that time because of the decency laws. I mean, he was getting arrested constantly just for saying these things on a public stage. So it's not the kind of thing that's going to make you go, wow, you know, what a great guy. But it really is an interesting part of history that he was not just doing these things and not just able to do them because he wasn't really able to do them, but that he was trying to. So I don't know. That's something I have looked up a few times.
Hey, Tanner.
Yes.
Speaking of Carnegie, how do you get to Carnegie Hall?
I don't know.
Practice.
Practice, practice, practice.
Anyway. My next pick is going to come as no surprise to anybody that that listens to the show because I watch this channel every night. It's Gray Still Plays. Still. Every night. Gray Still Plays has a new episode up usually daily of him playing usually Happy Wheels, which I didn't even know was a real game until I started watching his show, and it's very funny. Or Grand Theft Auto, or he'll play some random weird game. He's just a very funny person, and it's just good. It's good to fall asleep to. It makes me laugh. It makes you laugh. It makes you cry. It makes you... I don't remember how the rest of the song goes.
When you die.
Let's go to Lindsay.
Facts of life.
Lindsay.
I have been watching a lot of toy restoration videos. One in particular is Retro Geek Crafts, and mostly because she does a lot of G1 My Little Pony restorations, and I have learned a lot of tricks that I want to put into effect once it gets hot again because I need sunlight. But as far as for like removing discoloration from vinyl and things that way, I'm excited to fix up a bunch of my old toys from the tricks that I'm learning here.
I need Tanner to stop stroking his beard during the show.
He's not stroking it. He's brushing it.
Thank you, Jesse.
He's stroking it with the brush. It's brush stroking. And I don't like it. All right, so toy restoration. Is this like that thing you did last year where you put like mayonnaise on a toy
and
you
put it on the side? It's not mayonnaise. It's benzene peroxide.
Wait, how did you just say mayonnaise? Can you say that again? Mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, a mayonnaise. Lot of people up in here.
It's not mayonnaise.
You might be a redneck.
If your gun rack has a gun rack. It,
but that joke I just did.
That's
was
also
a
Family Guy bit.
Is it really?
Your gun rack has a gun rack. That's the Family Guy version of Jeff Foxworthy. I think you like Family Guy more than you want to admit.
I love first.
You used to like it a lot.
Yeah, the first three seasons of Family Guy were amazing. Yeah,
that's really true. Before Stewie became like flamboyant and he was just an evil genius.
Yes, and Peter was like not brain dead stupid, you know. And Brian was so fucking like.
And I agreed with her.
It's like as much shit as Family Guy gets, even like the recent stuff, like there's still gold. Like I just don't want to sift through all the crap. But like, there's a lot of like really good shit that still comes out of Family Guy. Like, that's.
I think I lost my luster for it whenever Brian and Stewie became like super focused, and Brian especially became so like political.
There was a brief period of time. I say brief, like I think it lasted for a few seasons, where like Brian became like it felt like Seth MacFarlane was using that show as
his personal
as a way to
yeah.
express his like his personal political beliefs.
Yeah,
using Brian as a mouthpiece, which because Brian does have, you know, they share a lot of beliefs, but I think like I don't know if he accidentally dialed it up too obnoxious.
Yeah, well, because it's funny because
that's where it got to.
Because Brian and Seth MacFarlane and I share a lot of the same beliefs. Like,
same.
Yeah. But it just irritates me in the show for some reason. I don't know why. All right. Anyway, let's go to Jesse.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think, Shannon, to add to that is because like it still feels weirdly preachy sometimes.
Yes. Sanctimonious.
But anyway.
Derivative.
All right.
Brian's also just an asshole. Derivative. So nobody wants to listen to an asshole talk. So.
Right.
That's fair.
Yeah, if I want to hear an asshole talk, I'll go back and listen to my new show.
All right, I'm actually going to add on to Lindsay's here. This seems to be a pattern. I've also been watching a lot of restoration videos, but less about like toys and stuff, just like general stuff. Like Odd Tinkering is the channel I watch the most of, and he just kind of restores random stuff, everything from like knives and lighters to old school tools to video game consoles. Like he restores a lot of stuff. And Lindsay, one thing in particular that I think you might be interested in, he shows you how to make a UV bucket so you don't have to wait for the sun. You don't have to put it outside. You could just
I just don't want to invest in it yet. That's what she uses because she lives in a very cold, cloudy area and doesn't get a lot of sunlight at any point in the year. So, but
that's fair.
We're in the Midwest. Where give us another month and it'll be freaking hot and blazing bright. So.
You don't like the weather in Missouri? Just wait a minute.
Yeah, then it'll be raining.
Now here's Roy.
If your family tree does not fork, you might be a redneck.
That's actually
a joke. Yeah, actually. That's the only one.
If your
I
family
remember.
Tree doesn't branch, is the Jeff Foxworthy
bit. I'm gonna fight this motherfucker anyway. On it because it's the only quote I remember.
Yeah. Is fork okay?
Yeah.
Jeff Foxworthy is the hill I will die on.
If you ever climb to the top of the water tower, defend your sister's honor.
You might be from Chaffee. Yeah.
Her lawn furniture used to be your living room furniture.
By the way, the restoration stuff is just very satisfying, especially like Odd Tinkerings.
I don't know if it was that one or not. I did watch someone do fixing up an old Zippo lighter from like the 1950s and taking all the stuff out of it, putting it back in. It was really cool.
Yeah, he's done a lot of that stuff, and like he ends up making a lot of replacement parts from scratch, which end up being really cool. Like, because I've watched, like, there's another restoration video that's popped up lately of, like, a dude specifically doing, like, janky video game consoles. And, like, his restorations end up just being, like, cleaning and getting rid of the colorization. But it's still all broken and janky looking by the time he's done with it.
Mm.
Like, and it's not satisfying. We're Odd Tinkering, like, if he can't fix it or make it himself, like, he'll order replacement parts. Like, he'll take, like, a broken, nasty-ass looking Game Boy. And by the time he's done with it, the sucker looks like it just came out of a box.
And it works.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Almost sounds like Billy Wolford.
Yeah, it's but this better. It's a lot of fun.
I mean, he
could
make
watching.
His own YouTube channel. Like, with all the stuff he fixes, he may as well.
You talking about Billy Wolford?
Yeah.
He has a YouTube channel.
Does he?
He does, and he posts the weirdest shit on there. He posts, like, he put Windows 95 on his Vita. And he was showing it. And I went to Billy and I was like, why? Why would you do that? Why would anyone do that? Right.
Because he could.
Billy Wolford.
Yeah. Billy's so focused on whether or not he can. He never stopped to think whether or not he could.
He's the John Hammond of Windows 95.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Shelby Chan.
I've been watching a lot of art channels lately because I like some of their techniques, especially like Arlie Bean is one of my favorites. She does amazing watercolors. It's a style of watercolor that I myself can't master to save my life. She's just amazing. ADC Art Attack, who does a lot of comic book work. His line work is beautiful, flawless, it's stellar. And his coloring is fantastic. The man can pick up any type of supply, and in a day he's like, yeah, I can use this now. I'm like, you can, and I hate you for it. What? And then the Drawfee channel. I like them mainly because of their group dynamic, but also I get four different drawings and four different styles whenever they do their stuff, so I love watching how they interpret a prompt, and then usually they're the ones that colors it. Sometimes it's a single cast member that'll color all of them, but I like seeing how they end up getting stylized and colored and finished and everything. So, those three art channels have been on my repeat right now.
All right. Tanner, beat that. Be sophisticated.
My
next pick is a bucket that people spit in.
Starts with
First and foremost,
it's the spit bucket.
Hunter, was that you that sent that? Yes.
What's that?
The picture you sent in the chat, that's only fitting that it's John
Bailey. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I just want to add, it's completely fitting that that's John Daly, because that's the man who would get up in the, in the Masters. Like
it looks to me like it's a woman comforting her mulleted man after having to see another man's ass cheeks.
The mulleted man was 19 years old.
I thought that was their wedding photo.
But this is the same man who would get up on the tee box in the Masters with a Miller Lite and a cigarette in his mouth and tee off.
I assumed it was from when Shannon and I were playing golf at GTA Online the other night. What happened in the background.
We never got to the 19th hole, to be fair.
That's why.
Yeah.
It ran anyway.
It's a mobile hole.
I've been stuck on a channel on TikTok and YouTube. The girl's name is Susie Vidal. She does a show called Only Pans.
Oh, no. What?
Only Pans. P-A-N-S.
Oh, okay.
It is a cooking show. And
you were talking about anime again. I was getting concerned already.
Tanner.
No, she does a cooking show. It's really good. The most recent one I watched her do was a chili garlic noodles. But the entire episode is usually... when she does an OnlyFans episode, it's all making fun of OnlyFans. Not making fun of it, but it's gags. Like if you're
like a parody of it.
Not really a parody, because so like if you're hungry, or if she's hungry, she calls it horngry. I'm gonna send a link to the latest episode I just watched.
It might work better if you take it out of the box, Shannon.
No.
Because I can hear it from downstairs, but I can't hear it through your mic.
Also, nope. Before I forget, I did post a link to that book that I was talking about.
Yeah, I
saw the picture, but where's the... Oh, I see the link. Never mind.
It's right up above that.
No, I'm never taking my ukulele out of the box.
I want it.
Out of
Is
the box.
Is that so it can't fall on your lappy?
Yeah,
Lappy.
It shuts down.
That's my problem.
Now you can't get to my sights.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Hunter, probably.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
And I agreed with you.
Now why?
Why would I do that?
Oh, I
was literally watching that video right when you guys started that bit. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Especially like how he keeps like readjusting. Yeah.
He never stops.
That's what Jiminy Glick does.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah. Just not as funny.
I have. It's such a shame too. I'm sorry to get off on a rant here, but that's Martin Short, man.
I love Martin Short.
Is one of the best comedians of his time.
Yes,
and he did that. Anyway.
Maybe we just don't get it. Maybe it's like actually, if we go back and watch it now, we'll be like, "Oh my god, that's brilliant."
We get it. We get it, and it's not. Defunct Land. I've mentioned the Defunct Land channel on here before.
Yes,
we all are aware of Defunct Land. Yeah. So I'm not. This is not new content. What is? Semi-new content is, in general, I've just talked about, you know, the channel is all about rides that existed at theme parks that no longer do, right? Or at least that's how it started. But they have, there's maybe more, but there's only two I'm aware of. Two long-form, and this is just on YouTube, because most of their channel, their videos are like 15 to maybe 45 minutes, 15, 30, 45 minutes. They have two long-form, what I would consider to be full documentaries. Like, if you like just watching random documentaries, whether it's like you know, murder stuff or whatever. These are both really cool. They're about two very different things. One of them is about Helix, the sci-fi themed band that played at Disneyland for a short period of time, only in California. The formation of them, how they came up with them, how they were kind of tied into Star Wars, where the members are now. Turns out they were actually really good, which is kind of cool. That one's about an hour and a half long, and then they just put one out. That was last summer, I think, that one came out. And they just put one out back around Christmas, of all things, about the FastPass system.
Yes, I watched that one.
Lines. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's about lines at theme parks, or well, lines in general, but lines at theme parks and how you manage them and how you put people where they go. So they specifically like focus in on the Disney FastPass system. It's an hour and 42 minutes long. I was never bored.
Yeah, no, I watched the whole thing.
The whole time.
Yeah,
They run like a whole simulation on how to do it effectively, because basically, not to it sounds dumb, not to spoil anything, but Disney has had three versions of their FastPass system, and they claim, oh, we keep upgrading it because we're making it better for you. And these guys pretty much just went, are you? Let's do a 2-hour documentary about whether or not that's right. And you could probably guess the outcome. But it's really interesting. Yeah.
If you put all the parts together, they basically have a Muppets one also, but it's broken down by the different categories and stuff. Because I like watching all of their like television series and movie stuff that they throw back in it too.
And I'm gonna confirm this while we're talking about it. I'm gonna go look and see on there. But I'm pretty sure, because I'm subscribed to them, I'm pretty sure that they have a playlist that just collects all of that stuff.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to watch it that way, you can literally just pull up that playlist. There's one for Jim Henson.
Yep, that one's a really good watch through all of those, because it starts clear back with Sam and Friends and goes the whole way up through Muppets and then up through his passing.
Yeah, if you want to watch like just the Universal Studios rides, you can watch that all together. They have all the Halix stuff together, not just the documentary, but like a follow-up on it from there. And then they have the rest of their stuff broken down by seasons. But really, those two documentaries, I mean, that's like 3 hours of content that's worth. And I would watch them again. They play like movies, basically, like documentary movies. So, it's good stuff.
Well, my next pick, I won't talk about it too much either, because it's stuff that I've mentioned before. I'm big into the paranormal. I'm big into the mysteries of life and what lies beyond what we see every day. So I'm still keeping up with my normals. What's that?
Gonna be Chills.
No, I haven't watched Chills in a while. I can't do the dude's voice anymore. Plus, the problem with a lot of the ghost videos online, especially the ghost videos, is that they're so clearly fake. They're so, like, clearly phony. So I only watch video channels that presents, like, actual could-be-real evidence, and it's not so clearly staged. So, like, Nuke's Top 5 is still my absolute favorite. I think he's got the best paranormal channel on YouTube. I also really like Sir Spooks. I watch a lot of Sir Spooks. And there's something I started watching recently, and I watched two of them today with Lindsay, or at least she was around when I watched it. Fascinating Horror. They talk about, now these are real-life horror things. These are things that actually happened. Like, these are historical things. And the one I watched today that she was around for, Jesse, you know this story. The, was it the Nutty Putty Caves? Where...
Oh, yeah. The where the guy got stuck.
Yeah.
And, oh, God.
And he was stuck.
Talk about some...
I remember hearing that on a different program, not a YouTube one, but, like, there was, like, a TV series thing that went through, like, horrible deaths and things that way.
Yeah, because he got stuck.
I think it's called... Is it the Nutty Putty Cave?
It's something like that.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, it is the Nutty Putty Cave. Yeah, the dude got stuck.
Because he thought he was going in a different spot, and he ended up actually entering in a spot that was not what he expected, and then he got stuck upside down in it.
Well, because it was also mostly uncharted, so they were trying to, like, chart out the cave and go to it. And then, yeah, he got stuck, like, kind of deep down, and he... like they tried to get him out, and as they were like trying to pull him out, one of the pulleys broke.
Yeah, knocked the guy.
Ended up getting he ended up like not only getting knocked down further, but like a bunch of debris and shit fell on him. So he like
that pretty much killed him.
For him.
Yeah,
and he was basically upside down. Right?
Yeah, he was completely upside down. Yeah, the whole time he was upside down.
There's
he was upside down for hours.
Yeah,
and in order to get him out, they would have like they would have had to break both of his legs to get him out.
And his shoulders.
Yeah, I don't know about his shoulders for sure, but I do know for sure that they were talking about they had to break his legs to get him. Or if,
because of the angle that they had to pull him from.
I'm putting a picture in the group chat. The last picture of him from the caves before he died, to show you. Yeah, he was upside down, and what's really scary about it is that. When he died, because they confirmed that he had died in the cave. Like, they didn't leave him there dead. He had died after the accident, after the thing broke, like Jesse was saying. At some point, he had passed away. So the guy that owned the place wanted to demolish the entire caves. He wanted to just dynamite it, but they convinced him not to. And instead, they sealed off the entrances and put a plaque for him up. So his body, well, I guess his skeleton, more likely at this point, is still down there. And it's just it's his tomb. That's his tomb now. That's just, that's creepy, man. That just make your skin crawl. So, Fascinating Horror. They're only like 10 to 11 minutes long each, but they talk about some of the like really scary, like the one Lindsay was a part of was the Batman roller coaster at Six Flags, and how the same Batman roller coaster has decapitated two people, and they've never shut it down or done anything about it. So,
Shannon, the picture that I just sent was the picture of him actually being stuck. right there.
Ugh. To be fair about that Batman thing, those are people who were in the wrong fucking place that they were actively told, hey, don't go there.
Yeah.
That's true.
And that's what I brought up, because it's like, that's them being stupid.
God, imagine what it would be like, though, to be somebody sitting on that ride and going through, and you're laughing and having a good time, and then you accidentally kick someone's head off. And then there's
blood and whatever not on your leg.
Yeah, because you just kick someone's head literally clean off. Holy shit. It
probably is also very painful, because there's no way you don't break a shin doing that.
Yeah. Like,
the one guy...
You may as well kick a bowling ball at 90 miles an hour.
The one guy that kicked the kid, there was a 17-year-old kid that him and his friend went under it. No one knows why they did it. Maybe they were trying to get through quickly or whatever. But the guy that accidentally kicked his head off had no injuries other than like bruise. Somehow, like miraculously, like his foot, it didn't just shatter his foot on it. Like I expected it would just shatter something, you know?
Like, I don't think it would shatter. It would just be like, it would had to have been really painful.
Yes.
Like,
you were wearing like friggin' boots or
steel
something.
Steel toes. Yeah.
Oh God.
And then you have to live with the fact that you kicked a guy's head off for the rest of your life. Jesus.
Oof. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Lindsay. Lindsay, make it happy.
Well, I also have been watching art videos, but mine has been more of a bunch of the different artist YouTubers that I watch trying different art supplies. One of the cooler ones that I was watching is a clay that when you bake it, it becomes silver. Like, jewelers will use this to make jewelry so they can just sculpt it. And then when you bake it, it becomes silver. And you've just got to, like... You just got to grind it down and polish it. Yeah, no, it's super cool. It's also super expensive.
I can imagine.
And I've been watching another one trying out like jelly gouaches and just different supplies that I've either not heard of or I've been curious as to see what they look like and stuff
that
way.
I have jelly gouache if you ever want to try it out, and I haven't even opened most of them.
That was half of her video, was just opening them all because you have to peel each individual.
Yeah, there's so many, and you're like, oh my God, why can't it just be one big thing? No, 70 fucking cups with a tiny little bit of lid.
Yep.
All right, so we are now officially at an hour 15. Now we're going to enter the lightning rounds for the last two. So say a brief thing about it and move the fuck on.
Put them together.
Just put them together.
In other words, I shouldn't have saved the one that I'm actually watching the most of till last.
Well, you're the last person, so together. you can expend time on it, but the rest of us are going to go fast, like Sonic the Hedgehog, like Sonic 2 coming to theater soon, starring Idris Elba as Knuckles the Echidna. Jesse, you first.
Okay, my last two. First, Elden Ring. We're talking about YouTube videos we've been watching a lot recently, and I've been watching a shitload of Elden Ring videos. Basically showing me like how to get to certain places, because the map in that game is not helpful.
It's pretty.
It's very pretty. Not helpful.
Nothing in Final Fantasy Origins Stranger of Paradise is pretty.
And then the other stuff I've been watch a lot of cooking channels, because I like learning how to cook things.
He's a good cook.
And then applying it.
He's a good cook.
Thank you. Specifically, Binging with Babish is a great channel, especially for learning a bunch of stuff. Mythical Kitchen is one of my current go-tos. That's a lot of fun because they make a lot of like cool and crazy shit that's given me a lot of ideas for stuff that I've made in the past. And then the other one is Sam the Cooking Guys. Just dude lives out in California. He owns a restaurant and he has some interesting takes on some recipes. He shows you like the easy shit you can make and taste really, really good. So that's a valuable channel.
All right, Shelby.
Bam! Baking a Murder with Stephanie So. She either goes over stories that have been written, just stories about murders or actual murders, and usually bakes something while she's doing it. It always makes me hungry and very sad. That's a weird combo.
All right. Sadness and hunger.
And then Zachary Michael, Young Dumb Honey Bun, and Sinatra Says, and Sinatra Says Second. These are reaction channels, mainly for Amberlynn Reed and Foodie Beauty. This is just a train wreck, you guys. Like, these people, I don't understand. It's kind of a guilty pleasure, but also I don't know what the fuck to even say about half of the stuff these people do. It's insane.
Have you heard of this guy, like, Nikocado Avocado?
Nikocado Avocado, yeah. The dude, he's eating himself to death.
That dude, that is scary to watch in real time. Like, have you ever looked at him
side by side?
Yes, I was about to say back when he was, thin and handsome.
A vegan. Oh, he was a vegan then.
It's terrifying. It's legitimately terrifying.
It's actually kind of funny. Like, when he was playing violin all the time and in his vegan phase, he tried to make a video with... It wasn't Tana Mongeau. It was... Shit, who's the one that goes hard against Ethan and Ela? Anybody know?
From
H3? I don't know any of these names.
Yeah. The blonde.
Trisha...
Yes, Trisha Paytas.
Yeah.
So he tried. There's a whole history between them too. It's crazy. Like, everybody's connected. It's really weird.
Shelby and I go down the same rabbit holes. I like that.
Yep.
All right, Tanner, last two.
So my go-to if I'm bored is watching any video with Scott Walter.
Yes, love Scott Walter. Friend of the show.
Cryptic. There's a video he did back in 2019, I think 2020. Cryptic Code: Templars in America. It's a seminar he did at a Masonic Lodge that's really good. It kind of gives you some insight in this recent book, which I now have. So if you guys want to borrow that for next time, let me know.
When's he coming back to the show?
Soon, I'm hoping. Okay. Obviously, the one thing kind of fell through, but...
We love Scott Walter, so... Yeah.
Yes, we do. The other thing is, I've been on Doctor Who's YouTube for a while. And here recently, since my job, again, I get to have music playing... the last 2 days has been playing some of the soundtracks from Doctor Who, because Murray Gold is just amazing, especially when the orchestra from Wales comes in to play with him. It's just really, really relaxing. My go-to right now is from Matt Smith's run. It's called Trenzalore / The Last Song / I Am Information. It is... Shut up, Shannon. It is... It's the final song that plays as he's regenerating.
So. No, those ninjas just said Lash Long.
Shut up.
I heard it. I can't not hear.
I'm already on my way to the group.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Also, to pivot away from this for Tanner, if you want to hear Scott Walter at his most insane, make sure you listen to the last episode we did with him on I Want to Believe. I can't
that
even tell
was
you.
Your fault.
I can't even tell you the things he talked about on that show because I don't want to spoil it. But oh my god, that was the craziest show I've ever done. After that show, I left. Tanner and Hunter hung out with him a little bit longer, and it got even weirder. And I missed it. No, man. Uh-huh. Oh, all right, Hunter. Last two.
All right, quickly. I know I've also mentioned Wired on here. It's Wired Magazine's YouTube channel, but specifically their playlist of. Autocomplete interviews. So basically they get celebrities in and they have them look at their
search
autocomplete things.
Those are so much fun.
Seth Rogen did one recently that's pretty fun. Yeah. Most of the time people just really kind of like kick back while they're doing these and have fun with them. There is one that's outside of that I do want to mention. I thought was really interesting, and I don't even think it's a new video. But the day after, Sarah and I, not too long ago, went and saw the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra do the score for Raiders of the Lost Ark, which I think I mentioned on the show, too. The day after that, got up. I was up earlier than her, and I was getting a little breakfast and some coffee, and I pulled up just, like, Harrison Ford stuff on YouTube. Wired did a video or, like, an interview kind of thing with him a while back ago. It's about 20 minutes. And it's like a breakdown of his career through films, like the movies that
they do that with a lot of actors and actresses. Yeah. They're really interesting.
So his in particular, I thought was cool because Harrison Ford is such a, this word is so overused, but he is kind of a little enigma. Like a lot of times he's very grumpy and doesn't seem like he wants to talk in interviews. And then sometimes he's goofy and over the top. To me, this was the most comprehensive Harrison Ford you're going to get, and it comes directly from him. There's no interviewer. They would just, you know, skim to a movie and have him talk about it. It's not chronological, so it's not, like, literally beginning of his career to the end, but I will tell you, the first few are the big ones. It's Star Wars, it's Indiana Jones, and pretty much every time he goes... Yeah, you know, Lucas wanted to make the picture, and they called me up and had me read the script, and I read it, and I said, yeah, this looks great. And I signed on, and we made the picture, and it was good. It's the same thing for all the super popular shit. Then they get into stuff that people don't remember at all, like Mosquito Coast and stuff that he did that was much more art house. Because basically he says, there's like a line where he says, you know, after I did these major movies, I pretty much was able to work with whoever I wanted to, and I wanted to work with directors. I didn't really care so much about, you know, doing the big blockbusters. I wanted to work with certain people and tell really good stories. And then for the rest of the, like 15 minutes of the video, is just him talking about how much he opens up. You can see him literally just, like, light up talking about all these movies he did that a lot of people don't even remember. So that was really cool. And then the other thing that I was going to add on here, I did actually think of a TikTok one that's worth adding, if you're on there or not. It's a bookstore in St. Louis called The Novel Neighbor. And there's a handful of great bookstores in St. Louis. If you're ever looking for recommendations, I'll be glad to throw them out there. Left Bank and Novel Neighbor both are two of my favorites. And Novel Neighbor has a great TikTok channel or whatever you want to call it, profile, where their employees do, like, recommendations. They do, like, kind of back and forth on, like, these two books came out and they're kind of similar. Which one's more for you, or which one do you think is better? And they'll kind of give quick breakdowns and stuff. They're a lot of fun. They have really kind of mastered that short video form. A YouTube channel wouldn't be as good for them, but this is great advertising. Basically, we saw their TikTok based on recommendations Sarah and I did, and that's what prompted us to actually go and check them out. So, if there's ever been a more ringing endorsement of TikTok, I don't know what it is.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the Harrison Ford thing, because there's a movie that I remember Harrison Ford in that I really liked that no one else has ever said, and I know you probably know it, but I don't know how many other people know it. The Frisco Kid.
He talked about that, I'm almost positive.
Yeah, with Gene Wilder. Young Harrison Ford Western. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's kind of like So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mel Brooks. Nope, Mike yeah. Brooks. Mike Myers. Mike Myers.
Mel Brooks. Mike Brooks.
Mike Brooks.
Mike Brooks sounds like he does commentary for the Dodgers right now.
Mike
sounds like who's doing that for sure.
His nickname on the radio is the Last Schlong. So, anyway, Tanner knows.
Up, he was going to do the commentary for the Dodgers. And he looked it over and said, looks great. And then they made the picture. Yeah.
So my last two, it's no surprise, Phantom of the Opera clips. Because when I'm not watching the movie, I'm watching the clips over and over again. And not just the movie. But a lot of the time lately, it's been from the 2011 opera, or the stage play that they did at the Royal Albert Hall. And I just got that on Blu-ray, and I still haven't watched it. I've been meaning to, but I still prefer the movie version, but I also love the musical. They're all good, and I can't get Phantom of the Opera out of my head, no matter how hard I try. What's really funny is I'll go back and watch my Facebook memories, and even like 7-8 years ago, I will quote it, and someone said, man, you're really going down the Phantom of the Opera rabbit hole, and then like it cycles. Every 7-8 years, I go through it again, so I'm in my cycle right now. Anyway, and lastly is also Elden Ring. Just a shit ton of Elden Ring. Just like Jesse, I want to know what the best weapons are. I want to know what the best builds are. I want to know the secrets that I didn't see, because some of that shit is so like hidden and cryptic.
There are literally dungeons inside of dungeons. Yeah. Secret areas inside of secret areas inside of secret areas.
And there's so much to explore in that game. I said I was going to play through it again, and I'm going to play through it again. I went back and started up Dark Souls 3 again last night because I was like, you know what? I want to play something other than Elden Ring, and it just made me want to play Elden Ring. So those are mine. So, Lindsay, last two, and then we're out of here.
My last two, I've been watching a lot of various iceberg videos for different fandoms where you start off with like the most popular known, and then as you go down, it's the deeper dives into the fandoms. I just like seeing how much of the deeper stuff I already know. As far as that stuff goes, but like I've watched Sailor Moon, Pokemon, Fashion Dolls. My last one I did was G1 My Little Ponies, and it was just neat the different things that I find in there that I didn't know. But my most watched thing has been a little series called Tales of the Hunger Games, in which this person has written out Hunger Games from like game one up through the book series and films. And then went beyond that. But all of them are kind of told from the Capitol's point of view on stuff. Mm. It's just really interesting. They've taken the time to make the arenas, make the tributes, deaths.
I need you to send that to me so I can give it to my wife, because she's going to be very happy.
Yeah, they're really good. He finished them up like last September. There are no more. I'm on the very last one right now. But I've really enjoyed them. There was a really cool one that they did that like took place in like the ruins of the Empire State Building, which was really cool. But yeah, they're just very in-depth, and he always picks like three or four characters to focus on, so you don't truly know who's going to win until the end.
And you say he doesn't do any more of them?
No, they're done. He stopped at 100 games. He's done a few Q&As at the end of the different videos and stuff, and he flat out said he's stopping at 100 just because he doesn't want to keep rehashing stories.
Sounds like it's your turn now to start doing them for Godzilla.
No, I want to make a game, but not a story.
I wanted her to make, like, in this, you know, same way, to make a game featuring all of us. Like, have all of us be the tribute from a certain sector, and you can make up the backstory for that sector, and then put us in a Hunger Game, and do, like, a random number generator or something to see who dies first and who wins. I think that would be fun.
Well, that's what I was sort of doing. I was making my own out of anger at work, and then you told me to.
Yeah, because you didn't put Dalton in that, and I want someone to kill him.
Well, that's because they're all completely fictional characters that I made up. None of them are real at all.
Oh, my God, Lindsay. I don't know how many times I have to tell you this. If the therapy all these years didn't work, Dalton's not real. You made him up in your head. Dalton is a creation of your fevered brain.
You created him 10 years ago this very night.
Tonight.
If that's the case, I'm really messed up. So.
Yes, you are. We tried to tell you. Okay, that's going to do it for us. We're going to wrap this up. I still got to eat dinner, and then I'm probably going to hit the casino and do a little bit of gambling. So, Hunter and Jesse, this week, Tanner and Lindsay and Shelby too, this week, coming up tomorrow, you're going to have two episodes of Star Wars Dawn of Defiance, the end, Hunter, of Chapter 9.
That's right. The end of what the game will tell you is Episode 9, but episode installment and all that shit has gotten confusing. So it's Chapter 9. Be done with it. Sword of the Empire comes to an end, or came to an end, I guess I should say, this week. So tune in for that. We have one chapter left. And you'll get to meet those max level heroes in the very near future.
And Tanner, what an ending it was to Chapter 9.
I was crying.
Not to give too much away, but I think it was the best, better than any Star Wars film that exists. Also, we're going to have a lost episode this weekend from when I was in St. Louis and I forgot to post it. So I think it's the one, it's like us talking about our favorite movies of all time. So you may hear some news, like if we cover any news in that episode, it's going to seem really out of place. Just remember, this is like 2 months
late. You guys hear
about
what's going on in
Ukraine?
Just
label it as lost episode.
Putin's making moves.
That doesn't get out of hand.
No way Putin actually attacks, right?
No, he's not an idiot. And then next week, we've got all new episodes. We'll be back. So until then, for myself and for Jesse, for Lindsay, for Shelby, for Tanner, for Double H, for Asa and Dalton, for Kaz, for Cody, for Steven and Ethan. I think that's all of the extended family right now. Mandy, she'll kill me. You guys have a great weekend. We will see you next week. Shelby, Jesus Shelby Chan of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield, take us out.
I just placed an order for imaginary friend, and I'm going to be reading that soon.
Yes.
What do we always tell you, Shelby? Imaginary friends are ghosts. Later.
But they sound so nice.
Spoil it.